Org, we released our COVID-19 updates. And just so you know, obviously today and then May 17th and May 24, we will continue to worship together online only. But I'm excited to say that on May 31st, we are going to begin gathering together again. And so on May 31st, we will be having a 9:30 and 11 a.m. service here at the Northwestern Church of God. Now, we're going to continue to stream online indefinitely as well, our 9:30 service. But for those of you who are antsy and you're ready, we want you to know that there is a place for you here to come into worship. There may be some of you who are a little bit hesitant still, and we understand that. And both responses, whether you're ready to go or you're like, I'm not sure yet, are both understandable, and we support both of those. But for those of you who are coming at 9:30 or to 11, I just want you to know, go on to nwcog.org, and you'll see a blog where I wrote about a 3-page letter. It gives almost every detail that we could think of about our planning and preparation to lead up to that day. And then there's also a PDF of just a page, a big summary of some of the major things that we wanted you to know just at a quick read. So take a look at that if you have time, if you're thinking about coming and joining us on May 31st. Again, it's Mother's Day, and today I've decided to break from our Overcoming Tough Times series in Job and to do a Mother's Day's message. And before I do that, I want to say this. There are going to be 3 moms today that are part of the Body of Christ, Northwestern Church of God. They're going to get a surprise visit. And those 3 are the 2 oldest, which we have a tie, the 2 oldest moms still living in our congregation, and the newest mother in our congregation. So there'll be a representative from Northwestern Church of God that'll probably ring your doorbell sometime today before day's end. You see a couple of these nice planners. Those are what are going to be distributed to the 2 oldest moms. And we have another one that's not on this stage that'll be distributed to the newest mom in our congregation. It's just a way to say, man, we value moms. And happy Mother's Day. And from the Northwest Church of God, we love you and we value you. Well, today, as I thought about what I wanted to share with you, I came across a quote that said this from a mom. I was the perfect mother, and then I had kids. You know, I can remember when Jody and I were anticipating someday becoming parents, but we had not had children yet, and we were pastoring in Sykeston, Missouri, and we had one of our board members and his wife and their 2 twin daughters over at our house. And we were just playing board games around the dining room table. And their 2 young girls, toddlers, were over here playing. And they brought some dolls and stuff. And we were just having a great time. And all of a sudden, I looked up out of the corner of my eye. And now I see 2 naked little toddler girls running around my house. And I'm like, oh my goodness, what is going on? Now, you have to understand, I grew up with a sister who's 7 years younger than me. I was grown and gone a lot and didn't experience a lot of life with her back when we were younger. And I hadn't been around a big family where we had little kids like that running around. And I was like, I can't believe you're letting your kids do this. My buddy looked at him. He could see I was a little unnerved. And he's like, dude, you got to relax, man. You'll understand someday when you're a parent. And I'm thinking to myself, when I become a parent, I would never let that happen. Then I became a parent. And then I had kids. And so if you're here today listening to this message, moms, grandmas, I want you to know that there probably was a time you remember dreaming about being a mother, and in your mind you idealized being that perfect mother, and then you had kids. And then after having kids, it didn't take long to learn that those little people had wills of their own. And those little people's wills often conflicted with your will. And now you look into the mirror and you wonder what happened to that perfect mother you dreamed of becoming someday. I want to ask you today as a mom, does your experience of the mother look different than when you first imagined it? Do you sometimes wish you could be like another mother who seemingly has it all together? Do you ever struggle just to live up to your own expectations? Because if the answer to any of those is yes, then I want you to know that you're not alone. But I also want you to know that regardless of age, experience, or your ability to nurture another, if you have a child or if you have children, you've been given one of the greatest assignments of God. Because being a mother is unrelenting. It's agonizing. It's beautifully ordinary, and yet it's a holy responsibility. And although mothers are not perfect, we've all been guided by the voice of a mom, have we not? You know, moms throughout human history have each had moments in which they've feared that they've failed their kids. I don't know if you've heard of some of the biblical mothers and some of the biblical giants in the Bible, but maybe you're not aware of some of the lesser known sayings of some of these biblical mothers. Like, for example, the mother of King David said to him, "David, how many times have I told you not to play in the house with that slingshot?" Right? Probably not her finest moment as a mom. And then there's Noah's mother. "Noah, no, you can't keep them. I've told you don't bring any more strays home." And then, of course, you have the mother of Judas. "Judas, have you been in my purse again?" Or maybe the first original mother, right? You have Adam and his wife Eve, who their first two born sons were Cain and Abel. And she looks at her one son and says, "Cain, get off your brother. You're going to kill him someday." And then, of course, there's Mary, the mother of Jesus, who often worked out in the carpentry shop with his father as he was growing up in his adolescent years, when she yelled out at him one time, "Jesus, stop working on that old piece of wood and come in and wash up for supper. You'd spend your life on that wood if your father asked you." See, some of the greatest moments in the Bible no doubt had moments that moms looked back and they wondered, "Am I doing this mom thing right? Am I truly making a difference?" Well, moms, today I want to offer just a friendly reminder, in case you might have forgotten, that being a mother, it isn't easy. There's not a job on planet Earth that requires more mental, emotional, social, physical, and spiritual strength than to be a mother. Matter of fact, the late American humorist and author Irma Bombeck said this: "Giving birth is little more than a set of muscular contractions granting passage of a child. Then a mother is born." Isn't that so true, moms? Or I like what Dr. James Dobson of Focus on the Family said one time. He said, "Mothering can be backbreaking, heart-wrenching, and anxiety-producing, and that's just in the morning." How many of you moms can relate to those sentiments? I heard of another mother during a session with her family psychologist. She was extremely distraught. She was worn out. She was drained of all physical and emotional health. And her psychologist began to recount everything that she had just spilled out to him. And he said, "So let me get this. You give 50% of your energy to your job, 50% of your energy to your husband, and 50% of your energy to your kids." He says, "I think I know what your problem is." Can you relate to that, wife? Can you relate to that, mom? You see, the amount of demands that are placed on our moms is quite overwhelming. I heard of a second grade teacher who was teaching a lesson in her class, and she was explaining to them in science what a magnet was. And after elaborating on her explanation, the teacher decided to give her students a pop quiz to see if they had learned anything from her lecture. And there was only one question on the quiz, and it was this: "My name starts with M, and I have six letters, and I pick things up." 75% of the kids wrote the answer to that question as "mother," when I'm pretty sure the teacher was looking for magnets. See, being a mother is not easy. And being a mother is not always fun. I mean, think about it, moms. When you first gave birth, the hours of perhaps screaming labor, and since, the thousands of poopy diapers you've changed and exchanged and thrown away, the never-ending piles of laundry that you've washed and dried and folded and put away. Just recently, think about all the e-learning assignments that needed to be downloaded, discerned, and the long patience, suffering patience to just to get it all done. And then you got meal planning and shopping and prepping and cooking and dishing up, the errands to run, a child to taxi to and fro and to and fro and to and fro, and the sleepless nights and what seems like the ever-increasing early mornings. You know, fun for some mothers would just be a day off, or maybe better yet, just even a couple hours off, right? Fun for some moms would be for us to put a couple Ben Franklins in their hand and say, hey, go shop, buy something you want. Just relax and pamper and spoil yourself. Fun for some moms would be just once to be able to sleep in late and to stay in her pajamas all day long. Being a mother, it's not easy. It's not always fun, and it doesn't just come naturally. Some people say it just comes natural being a good mother. But I don't believe that. There are very few things in life that are just natural or just instinctive. Very few things do you and I do naturally without even thinking. Maybe blinking our eyes, maybe breathing. But no one comes out of the womb hardwired with experience, right? No one comes into the world as an expert, especially as it relates to motherhood. The knowledge, the skills, the abilities to be a good mother still have to be developed. They still have to require effort. See, when people say being a good mother just comes naturally, I don't believe that. And I don't believe it because of what the Bible also teaches us. You see, the Bible teaches us that all of us, by nature, we're selfish people. We're self-centered. And you know what? That includes moms. It doesn't come naturally for anyone to be constantly caring, always helping, serving, giving, sacrificing for another. And mothers are no exceptions. I remember one compassionate husband once said to his wife, I want you to stick to your washing, vacuuming, ironing, sewing, cooking, and baking. No wife of mine is going to work. Oh, the words of Archie Bunker. You see, it's not natural to do all those things, but it requires self-denial. It requires immense sacrifice and great love. Being a mother, it's not easy. It's not always fun. It doesn't come naturally. And mom, just in case you forgot, being a mother isn't a one-size-fits-all mold. Some mothers think the way that they mother is the right way, while other mothers think that the way they mother is the only way. I want to say to you today, just be sure that the way that you mother is the way God has for you. It's the plan that God has for you. You see, there's so many different ways that you could go about being a mom. For some, once they find out they're able to have children, it's a decision between to have natural childbirth or to have a little bit drugs-induced to help. For those who can't have children, there's the decision to how to adopt. Do we want to adopt foreign child or a domestic child? Do we want to go through a private agency or a social agency? Once we have the child, are we going to nurse the child or are we going to feed our child baby formula? Are we going to use cloth diapers or disposable diapers? Are we going to send them to a public school or to a private school or are we going to homeschool? As a mom, once my kids get a little older and I've spent some time with them, am I going to work outside the home? Am I just going to work inside the home? Or am I going to do a plethora of both? What are the curfews going to be? How are we going to know how to set those? What about the music and the media and the social media and the iPhone? At what age and when are they allowed to begin to use these avenues of communication? What about dating and courting? There are so many different intersections in the lives of being a mother with their children that there's just not one size fits all mold. So if I could say this to you, moms, don't always look to other women and their choices to determine your own when it comes to being a mother. Yes, pick their brains and listen to their experiences because you can gain knowledge from that. Observe other mothers that you admire, for sure. Read great books about what it means to be a mom, but ultimately, go to God for your motherhood marching orders. Well, those are some of the things that sometimes I think as moms and even as husbands and fathers of children that we also forget. But for a moment, I just want to set aside all of the standards, all the expectations, all the misconceptions of perfection, and the myths that have been placed on the role of motherhood by our society and maybe by our families and maybe by yourself, Mom. And for our remaining time, I'd like us to look into the Bible in Proverbs chapter 31 and appreciate the ways a wife and a mother cares for her family. What we'll find in Proverbs 31 is simply that. It's an appreciation of a wife and a mother. It's in there to inspire us to be that kind of wife or mother. But listen, it's not to be just a checklist to make sure I hit every box. This isn't a scorecard that I want you to look at and say, see, again, you're throwing this at me, and I know I'll never be able to be all of that. This isn't about a pass-fail. This isn't about A, B, C, or D letter grade and how good a mom you are. But what I want you to see as we look through Proverbs 31 is just this mosaic of motherhood, of how there are just so many different elements of different moms that we can appreciate as a husband for a wife and as a children to our mother. Proverbs 31 are the words of a mother to her son. Proverbs 31:1 says it like this: "These are the wise sayings of King Lemuel of Massah, taught to him at his mother's knee." So let me show you what was going on. When Lemuel was just a little kid, at his mother's knee, she would pour into him. She would give him insights on what it means to value and appreciate a wife and a mother. And one day, as he grew up to be king, he took these words of wisdom from his mom and he put them into scripture for you and for me. He starts out by giving us a summation of her teaching to him that he now shares with us in verse 10. He says, "A wife of noble character, who can find?" It's interesting, this phrase, "a wife of noble character, who can find her?" That word for noble has a Hebrew meaning that I want to unpack just real quickly with you. It means a wife of strength in her character, a wife of might in her character, a wife of efficiency in her character, a wife who goes to battle like an army. That's her character. Who can find her? You know, I like to say it like this: who can find a gutsy mom, right? A gutsy mom. A mom who wakes up and it's almost like she goes to war or battle every day for her kids and her family. Mothers, you know, they prepare to solve every crisis for us, especially for young children. I mean, they have to look for lost socks and lost sneakers and lost toys that their kids can't find. They work on relationship challenges that their family are struggling with. They have to combat against destructive influences that seek to besiege their kids almost at every age level, from the elementary playground bullies to all the middle school meltdowns to all the high school hang-ups and breakups. And it would be easy for a mother's tendency is just to hide her flock under her wings and never let them learn to fly, to leave the nest. But then she finds the courage, the strength, the might of character to lead them into a relationship with Jesus that allows them to grow and walk in truth and grace and faith. And she learns to let go and directs herself then to trust God to help them, her children, her family, own their own faith. He goes on and says this: she, this wife, this mother, is worth far more than rubies. You know, one of the most expensive colored gemstones ever sold at auction was a ruby. And in 2015, a Burmese ruby sold, check this, for $30 million, just over $1 million per carat. And this king, who grew at his knee of his mother to a grown man, says to you and I, "You find a wife, a mom, who has great noble character, She's worth far more than $30 million or any ruby that you can buy at auction. He goes on and says about her in verse 11, her husband can trust her, and she will richly satisfy his needs. She will not hinder him, but help him in all of life. Let me just give you some words that I see coming out of these verses as we appreciate a wife and a mother. This is a woman who is trustworthy. This is a woman who is a helper to her husband. He goes on and says, she finds wool and flax and busily spins it. She buys imported foods brought by ship and from distant ports. She gets up before dawn to prepare breakfast for her household and plans the day's work for her servant girls. She goes out to inspect the field and buys it, and with her hands, she plants a vineyard. She's energetic, a hard worker, and watches for bargains. She works far into the night. This is a wife. This is a mother who is a planner. She's a provider. She is a hard worker. She's prudent. She's industrious. He goes on and he says, she sows for the poor and generously helps those in need. She has no fear of winter for her household, for she has made warm clothes for all of them. She also upholsters with finest tapestry. Her own clothing is beautifully made, a purple gown of pure linen. Now, moms, take a second. Don't go, oh my goodness, there is no absolute way I can do all that. Again, this is not a scorecard. This is not a checklist. These are things about all different kinds of mothers and their abilities and their talents that we need to appreciate. Her husband is well known, for he sits in the council chamber with the other civic leaders. She makes belted linen garments to sell to the merchants. In other words, this wife, this mother, she's generous. She's a servant. She's a comforter. And she's confident in what she does and who she is. She's a woman of strength and dignity and has no fear of old age. When she speaks, her words are wise, and kindness is the rule for everything that she says. She watches carefully all that goes on throughout her household, and she's never lazy. This is a wife, this is a mother to be appreciated for her strength, for her wisdom, that she's a loving counselor, that she's kind, she's a protector of her kids and her husband. It says that her children stand and they bless her. I mean, can you picture it? Her kids get out of bed cheerful and without poking, without prodding. Her kids dress themselves, brush their teeth without an act of Congress. Of course, that's not necessarily saying a whole lot, right? She doesn't have to remind her kids to take a shower, to clean the room. Her kids don't argue. They don't fight when they're in the car. Rather, they get up, they get ready, they get on the car on time while telling their mom how pretty she is and how glad they are that she's their mom. Yes, her children stand and bless her. So does her husband. He praises her with these words, there are many fine women in the world, but you, my dear, are the best of them all. She's the best of the bunch. She's numero uno of all other wives and women and mothers. You know, I think it's interesting that throughout history, God has praised and honored godly women who honored him. You see, living a life of faith wasn't easy for a woman, in particular in the days of the Bible. When women were to be seen and not so much as heard, can you imagine being a wife and a mother in the Bible days? Imagine walking by faith and trusting God to lead your husband. I mean, think of Mrs. Noah. She raised her kids with a crazy hubby who was building a boat the size of a hotel because the earth was going to flood and it never rained on the earth. She spends her days shoveling manure and trying to keep her grandkids away from Mr. and Mrs. Porcupine. And then you got Mrs. Abraham, whose name is Sarah. Her husband instructs her to pack up all of her earthly belongings because guess what? They're moving. And when she asks her husband where they're going, he says, you know, babe, I'm not quite sure. See, God was telling and leading Abraham, but Sarah had to follow her husband just with simple blind faith. In addition, may I add you, that Sarah is told she's finally going to have a child that she was never able to give birth or conceive. And at 90 years of age, you talk about some nasty stretch marks, she has her first kid. And then you've got Jesus's mom, Mary, a pregnant teen who never had sexual relations, has been now unfairly labeled as a promiscuous girl through her town. Mary never forgot the day that angel visited her. Mary never forgot Joseph explaining his dream to her too. Because great faith was going to be required of this wife and this mother-to-be. And one day she watched her son, born of miraculous means, as he was suspended on a cross, but she can't touch him. She sees him nailed, but she can't loose him. She sees him dripping with blood, and she can't help him. She hears him cry, "I thirst." She can't give him a drink. She watches him take his last breath, and this mother's heart breaks. Jesus was God's only son, but he was her son too. And yet she believed he was God, this very baby that she bore. You see, the men in these women's lives were heralded for having great faith, but can you imagine the great faith that it took to trust these men and their lives as they followed God for this mother, for this wife? The Bible says in Proverbs, she will receive praise and blessing from her children, her husband, and from the Lord. It goes on in verse 30, he says, charm can be deceptive and beauty, it doesn't last, but a woman who fears and reverences God shall be greatly praised. You know, I came upon a short article that kind of puts this concept of mothering into perspective, and I just want to take a moment just to read it to you. It's a story told of a mother who is building great cathedrals of children behind the scenes when no one's watching. It all began to make sense. Blank stares, the lack of response, she says. The way one of the kids will walk into the room while I'm on the phone and ask to be taken to the store. Inside, I'm thinking, can't you see that I'm on the phone? Obviously not. No one can see if I'm on the phone or cooking or sweeping the floor or even standing on my head over in the corner. I'm like invisible. Some days I'm only a pair of hands. Mom, can you fix this? Mom, can you tie this? Mom, can you open this? Some days I'm a TV guide used by them to answer, what number is the Disney Channel? Some days I'm a taxi. Hey, Mom, can you pick me up at 5:30? You know, my hands once held books and my eyes studied history and my mind graduated summa cum laude, but now I've disappeared in the peanut butter, never to be seen again. One night, a group of us were having dinner. Janice had just returned from a fabulous trip to England, and she was going on and on and on about her adventures. It was hard not to feel sorry for myself as I looked around and all my friends all dressed up so nice, so well, so extravagant. I looked down at my out-of-style old dress. My unwashed hair was pulled up in a banana clip, and I was afraid I could actually smell the peanut butter in it. I was feeling pathetic until Janice gave me a book of the great cathedrals of Europe. I read her inscription that she wrote to me. She wrote to Charlotte, with admiration for the greatness of what you're building when no one sees. One story in the book told of a rich man who visited a cathedral that was under construction. A workman was carving a tiny bird on the backside of a beam. Why are you spending so much time carving a bird that no one will ever see? And the workman replied, because God sees it. Immediately, she said, I sensed God whispering to me, I see you, Charlotte. I see the sacrifices that you make every day, even when no one else sees. I see your acts of kindness. I notice the sequins you've sewn on. No cupcake that you've baked is too small for me not to notice and smile over. You're building a great cathedral, even if you can't see right now what it will become. Charlotte writes, I keep the right perspective when I see myself as a builder. As one of the people who show up at a job that they will seldom, if ever, see finished. When I really think about it, I don't want my son to tell his friends he's bringing home for college for Thanksgiving. You know, my mom gets up at 4 a.m. in the morning and bakes homemade pies, and then she hand bastes the turkey for 3 hours and presses all the linens for the table. Oh, that'd mean I'd build a shrine or a monument to myself. I just want him to want to come home. I just want him to be able to say to his friend, you're going to love it here at my house on Thanksgiving. You know what? In one day, it's very possible that the world will marvel not only at what we have built, but at the beauty that has been added to the world by the sacrifices of invisible women. King Lemuel finishes up the insights of how to appreciate and honor a wife and a mother in the 31st verse of the 31st chapter of Proverbs when he writes, praise her. Praise her for the many fine things she does. These good deeds of hers shall bring her honor and recognition from people of importance. Or as some translations say, from people at the city gates. Hey, husbands, dads, kiddos, young and old, whose mother is still living, take some time today to praise her for the many fine things that she does. And for those of you whose mothers have passed, reminisce, still give God thanks for the many fine things your mother instilled and poured into you, and give her praise in him as well. You know, the word praise means to make show, to boast, to rave about, and to shout. Husbands, fathers, dads, children today, sometime today, find a way to boast, to brag, to shout about your mom, about your wife. And I ask you, as we kind of wrap this up today on Mother's Day, what are some practical ways as a husband or as children that you could praise your wife, your mom? Maybe it's not just praising her and boasting and bragging and making a show of her with your words, but might it be rather even acts of affirmation, acts of appreciation, acts of affection, acts of attention, or maybe just simple gestures that show that you support, that you help, that you care, and that you love her for all of the fine things that she does. That would probably be the greatest gift you could give to your mom this day, this Mother's Day. Would you pray with me? God, I thank you for our moms and for the moms today that sometimes when they look in the mirror and they think about that perfect motherhood that they had once dreamed of before they had kids, and now they look and they see how and feel how sometimes they just don't live up, that maybe they wonder, am I even making a difference, or have I even failed my children and my family? Would you remind them that you love them, that you're there to help them? Would you remind them, in case they've forgotten, that being a mother is not easy, that being a mom's not always fun, that it doesn't come naturally. Yes, it takes work and attention. It has to be something that's developed in them, and God, that you'll help with that. And God, remind them today, because there is no perfect mother, there's no one-size-fits-all mold, that we all come at things a little bit differently, but may they look into Proverbs 31 today, and as they see adjectives and actions that describe a godly wife and mother, instead of seeing it like a checklist and how far they fall short or how well they score, may they just see it and say, that I'm doing, and God, thank you for your help with that. May their husband, their spouse, may their children look at that and find numerous things in that mosaic of motherhood in which that they can praise, they can shout, they can brag, they can make a big show about their mom because of all the things that she does, those fine things she does so well. God, bless each mom today. Thank you for who they are, the influence and the voice they have into our lives. It's in Jesus' name I pray. And everybody said, amen, amen. Hey, if you're at house and your mom's there, or maybe your wife, maybe you don't have kids at home anymore, but if you can you just give them a big hug? Let them know how special they are right now. And I just pray that the rest of your afternoon celebrating motherhood and those special women in your lives would just be extra special, even during this tumultuous time and a little bit of a different kind of Mother's Day in some ways. But until then, God bless you. Go with God, and he'll go with you. And we'll see you right here at 9:30 next Sunday. Have a great afternoon.